Salakaya Chakshadu Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Sacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vashtachadasatarine Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadharu Shivasari Gaurav Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Anarayanam Ramaskritya Dharam Chaiva Narottamam Devi Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jaya Vajira Jat Vagha Karoti Vachala Pangulangai Tegiri Yatki Thata Vahang Vande Sigarunya Dhinam Paramana Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5th canto, chapter 17, entitled The Descent of the River Ganges, text number 24. Which has a long purport, so we'll go through the verse quickly. Yan nirmitam karyapi karma parvanim. Yanirmitam karyapi karma parvanim. Mayam jano yam guna sarga mohita. Mayam jano yam guna sarga mohita. Navida nistadana juga manjusa. Navida nistadana juga manjusa. Tasmai namaste vilayudayatmane. Tasmai namaste vilayudayatmane. Yannirmitam karyapi karma parvanim. Mayam jano yam guna sarga mohita. Naveda nistarana yoga manjasa. Tasmai namaste vilayudayatmane. Yanirmitam kaya vikarma parvanim. Mayam jano yam guna sarga mohita. Naveda nistarana yoga manjusa. Tasmai namaste vilayudayatmane. Yanirmitam kaya vikarma parvanim. Mayam jano yam guna sarga mohita. Naveda nistarana yoga manjasa. Tasmai namaste vilayodayatmane. Ladies. Yanirmitam kaya vikarma parvanim. Mayam jano yam guna karya sauhita. Naveda nistarana yoga manjasa. Tasmai namaste vilayudayatmane. Yat by whom? Nirmitam created. Karhi api at any time. Karma parvanim, which ties the knots of fruitive activity. Mayam, the illusory energy. And janaha, a person. Ayam, this. Gunasarga mohita, bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Na, not. Veda, knows. Vistarana yogam, the process of getting out of material entanglement. Anjasa, soon. Tasmai, unto him, the supreme. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Vilaya udaya atmane, in whom everything is annihilated, and from whom everything is again manifested. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all of us conditioned souls to this material world. Therefore, without being favored by Him, persons like us cannot understand how to get out of that illusory energy. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the cause of creation and annihilation. Please repeat. The illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all of us conditioned souls to this material world. Therefore, without being favored by Him, Persons like us cannot understand how to get out of that illusory energy. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the cause of creation and annihilation. Purport. Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivahi esha gunamayi mama maya dratyaya mam eva ye prabhajante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. All conditioned souls working within the illusory energy of the Lord consider the body to be the self, and thus they continuously wander throughout the universe, taking birth in different species of life and creating more and more problems. Sometimes they become disgusted with the problems and seek out a process by which they can get out of this entanglement. Unfortunately, such so-called research workers are unaware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His illusory energy, and thus all of them work only in darkness, never finding a way out. So-called scientists and advanced research scholars are ludicrously trying to find the cause of life. They take no notice of the fact that life is already being produced. What will be their credit if they find out the chemical composition of life? All their chemicals are nothing but different transformations of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:20, the living entity is never created. Najayate miyate vakarachin. There are five gross material elements and three minor material elements, mind, intelligence, and ego. And there are eternal living entities. The living entity desires a certain type of body, and by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that body is created from material nature, which is nothing but a kind of machine handled by the Supreme Lord. The Lord gives the living entity a particular type of mechanical body, and the living entity must work with it according to the law of fruitive activities. Fruitive activities are described in this verse, Karma Parvaning Mayam. The living entity is seated on a machine, the body, and according to the order of the Supreme Lord, he operates the machine. This is the secret of transmigration of the soul from one body to another. The living entity thus becomes entangled in fruitive activities in this material world. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Manakshastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. The living entity is struggling very hard against the six senses, which include the mind. In all the activities of creation and annihilation, the living entity is entangled in fruitive activities, which are executed by the illusory energy, Maya. He is certainly like a computer handled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The so-called scientists say that nature acts independently, but they cannot explain what nature is. Nature is nothing but a machine operated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one understands the operator, his problems of life are solved. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bahunam janmanamante ganavan mam prabhajyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. A sane man, therefore, surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus gets out of the clutches of the illusory energy, Maya. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 17th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Descent of the River Ganges.
Dividya verse again.
Translation. The illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all of us conditioned souls to this material world. Therefore, without being favored by Him, persons like us cannot understand how to get out of that illusory energy. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the cause of creation and annihilation.
So, in this verse, is an important verse which is given to us on this holy day of the Ekadasi during the month of Purushottam, which is considered to be one of the very special Ekadasis. There's two Ekadasis in this month, and this month comes once every 3 years. It's 1,000 times. I said wrongly. I said it was 1,000 times an ordinary day. It's 1,000 times the month of Damodar. So, and this Ekadasi is 100 times that. Every Ekadasi is 100 times. This Ekadasi, I don't know, it's even more. So, a very good day to hear this verse. How we should understand that the Lord is the operator of this whole machine, which is the material energy. Actually, if we want to get out of the stringent laws of the material world, we know that the verse which was quoted, that the material energy is the divine potency of the Lord. That we, if we surrender to Krishna, then He can cross us over. But this verse really hones into the fact that the Lord is the operator of this whole material nature. Sometimes, recently I heard there was a book by a Jewish man, a rabbi, where he said, well, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Of course, his understanding of good may differ from ours, but he was thinking that, well, we shouldn't, like, according to, I didn't read the book, but someone told me that accordingly, we shouldn't think that God is a bad guy. He's a good guy. It's out of His control. Things are going on, and He doesn't really have any control. He created, but after that, He lost control. So that's why sometimes you see good people, they eat kosher meat, and they, you know, they're really good people. They only see good movies, and but still, they get cancer, they get bad things happen. So why the good things or bad things happen to good people? So, of course, this book is really, if that's what it says, it's completely off. But this verse tells us very clearly that Krishna is the controller, and through that He actually operates this material nature. So you understand He's the operator. And then we can also easily get free from this material nature by His mercy. So it's really important that we should understand Krishna, and we should try to serve Krishna. We should surrender to Krishna. This is a, and this verse really brings that home, and that He is actually in control. It's not that He's not in control, but He lets things go on, like according to his laws of karma, things go on. But if you are favored by him, if you are a devotee, then he will give you a special mercy, and he'll take you out from this place. So we want to be the devotees of the Lord. We don't want to be non-devotees any longer. So those who are, they may be very intelligent in this material world, but if they don't have devotion for the Supreme, then in spite of their education and other good qualities, they are not able to get free from this material world. They are stuck here, and they'll not understand how this material world is functioning. So, what they need to do is read the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, and then things are revealed. In a nutshell, they're given in the Bhagavad Gita. In more detail, they're given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we can take this verse to heart on this very sacred day of the Goddessy. And we can decide, if we haven't already decided, or we can reconfirm once and for all that we want to surrender to Krishna. We want to serve him. We don't want to do things which are against his will, which are against his instructions. And this way, we can make our life easily successful. Prabhupada quoted the verse from Jesus. What is the use of getting what's the use of getting the whole material world if you lose your eternal soul? So, in effect, all the scriptures are saying the same thing, that we should actually understand what is the purpose of human life. We should take our human life and be Krishna conscious, God conscious. In this way, we can get out of the entanglements of the material nature. If we think that we can do it without being Krishna conscious, this verse tells us, well, no hope. Because the whole material nature is designed in such a way that it's very difficult to cross over. However, if you know the operator, if you know that Krishna is behind everything, then you can easily get over this material nature by his mercy, by his favor. So we should take it very seriously to heart that what we should do here in this material world, we should do according to his desires. So that was the difference between the Pandavas and the Kurus. The Pandavas wanted to do everything according to Krishna's desire, where the Kurus, they were non-devotees, they wanted to do just according to their own sense of gratification. Otherwise, the Kurus, by material estimation, they were charismatic leaders, they were nice people, but they were non-devotees. So, ultimately, they could do anything for their own material interest, whereas the Pandavas, they always did things according to what was right, what was pleasing to Krishna. And so the Pandavas were basically reliable, where the gurus, you could never tell what they're going to do. They're nice guys, but as long as you're on their good side. But if you are anyway inimical, they would not follow any rules. They would just destroy you. Whereas one of the names of Yudhishthira was Agata Satru. He didn't know any enemies. Now, there are some people who are inimical to him, but they found it in their own interest better to surrender to Yudhishthira, better to be under his shelter, because even if I want his downfall, I can't survive against him, whereas with him I can survive. So these people would be with Yudhishthira, even though they were against him, because it was in their interest. This is the nature of a devotee. The devotee doesn't, he always acts accordingly. Whereas if someone's a non-devotee, if they know, oh, this person against me, I want to get him first. Right? So that is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A devotee, okay, this person against me, but I don't want to do anything that's not proper. So in this way, the devotee acts always according to the what's pleasing to Krishna. So Yudhishthira, that's why, like when the Kurus were being attacked by the Gandharvas, so Dina said, "Here's our chance. We can join up with the Gandharvas, or we can let the Gandharvas finish it out for us." But Yudhishthira said, "No. Amongst ourselves, we're 5 against 100. But against any other planet, any other a danger, we're 105 against them." So the Pandavas, they defended the Kurus against the Gandharvas. So this was the nature of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was Dharmaraj. He had followed the rules of the Dharma of the of Krishna. So that's why Krishna wanted him to be the ruler. That way the world would be a better place. Where under the Kurus, maybe in the so-so, but by some material estimation, but it won't be a better place. So if we understand this verse today, then we should really decide, yes, I want to follow the devotees. I want to follow Krishna. I want to surrender to Krishna and follow His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. No. Prabhupada Ki. No. Prabhupada Ki. No. This verse is a very important verse. I think I said it a few times already, but it really stuck me. How much we need to really be Krishna conscious to basically to survive this material nature. That if anybody had any illusion that, well, you know, I can be somewhat Krishna conscious and I can be somewhat in material nature, and I'll manage the material nature. Those are all the tricks of my. She wants you to believe, yeah, you can manage her, and she will manage you. You just think, Maya, I will. I'm sorry I can't serve you this lifetime. I just want to serve Krishna. So I want to engage in all what Krishna has allowed us. Okay, we take Krishna's prasad. If we're married, we have our wife or husband. Like this, we accordingly to the rules that Krishna gives us, we follow. If we go a little bit beyond, Maya's waiting. She's just waiting to kick us out. Give us a good kick. So, how much you want to be kicked? How much? Nobody wants to be kicked, but they're all getting kicked. So, the secret is be on Krishna's side. No envy, no remorse, no nothing. Just He's lost. He's the Supreme Lord. Just accept it and follow actually he's a wonderful person. The more you hear about him, you actually love him. But whatever it is, you have to follow Krishna. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. You have to follow the Supreme Lord. This is the only way. Now, if you do it like according to this shastra, that shastra, well, I don't think anyone follows the scripture very clearly. But His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, He very meticulously followed the shastra. So how to do it? Last Sunday, I gave a sermon or a lecture at the Christian church. It's a Unitarian church. I don't know if you exactly they're Christian and Unitarian. But there I said that how in different religions they all glorified the holy name. And later the pastor, he told me, this is the first time I really understood why the Hare Krishna movement concentrates so much on chanting the holy names. And now I understand how this is fundamental to all the religions, but we don't really practice so much in other religions. But it's there. You showed how it's there in our scriptures. So I'm inclined. I want to go now to visit your Sunday feast and take your prasad sometime. How are you though? I see. Once I was in South America, and most of the people are, you can say, Roman Catholics, but some people are Protestant. So there's a Protestant priest, and he wanted to speak to me. So he said, "You see, guru to guru, I want to talk." So I'm a priest, you're a guru, so guru to guru. Please, everyone can leave the room. So everybody left. Okay, I was there. "Yes, sir, what would you like to say?" He said, "Well, today you're talking about a grihastha life. We're a Protestant priest. But in our religion, they never tell us how to have more spiritually oriented family life. So I just wanted to hear from you. How do you do it?" So I told him the rules of being a grihastha and how. He said, "Thank you very much." And next time I came by, 3 months, 6 months later, he said, "Guru to guru, I want to talk." So everybody left the room again. This time, under his white collar, he pulled out neck beads. What do you know? So we don't tell people that they have to give up Allah or they have to give up Jesus or anything. They can do whatever, because we respect all the names of God. We respect all the prophets and the sons of God as our gurus, but we do request that they chant the names of God. And so, like that, this person, he has started chanting, and he was secretly wearing his neck beads. So that was very gratifying. We welcome everyone to practice, you see. Prabhupada used to say this was a postgraduate a study for all religions. So anyway, if we understand this verse, then we have to be a personalist. That Krishna is a person, and he's alternating this material nature. Now you think, well, why is the nature so lousy? Why this and that? It's not lousy because of nature. It's like there's global warming because we misuse the nature. There's the problem because, like in India, some people, when they see the market's good, they hoard it. And that way they can sell the stuff for more money. So the human beings, we make a mess of things. It's not Krishna's fault. He lets us do it, and we have to take the karma. In India, many, many years ago, there were people dropping dead and blind with all kinds, and then they found out everyone had bought oil from the same shop, and the shop was using used mobile oil to cut the vegetable oil. And somehow the servant put too much. But can you imagine what that does to your liver, your heart, taking used mobile oil? So the people died, and that person was arrested, and he was hung or something. But so karma does catch him eventually, but what we want to do is we don't want to do anything to harm anyone, and we just want to serve Krishna, and we want to help everyone to get back to hold back to God in this life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So any questions or comments from our illustrious God brothers? I'm under some treatment now. It seems to make me more difficult to speak, because I don't know if I was understandable or not. Nikatna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj. In the verse, Lord Shiva is explaining that without being favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we cannot get out of this illusory condition. So the question is, you know, we all have experience in devotional service that we work hard, but we don't see anything happening for us.
We don't see what?
We don't see anything happening for us. So sometimes, in other words, we're working very hard, but things are not working the way we'd like it to work. So the question is, how do we avoid getting into this mentality of business, this trapped mentality of business, that if I work for you, Krishna, or actually, if you give something to me, I'll work very hard. So how do we avoid developing that sort of business mentality and devotional service?
Well, it says that there are two kinds of devotees, basically. The Sakhan Bhaktas and Nishkan Bhaktas. Those who have some material desires, and those who have no material desire. So, Sankhan Bhaktas like the Devas and angels in this material world, they have some desire to enjoy. At the same time, they want to follow Krishna. And so, as a result, things don't always work out exactly the way you want. But generally, you get more than what you deserve. And the Nishkam Bhaktas, they want basically to have love of Krishna, and they want the spiritual happiness. So the Nishkam Bhaktas, they don't make this business deals with Krishna. So the best thing, of course, is to be a Nishkam Bhakta. Now it says whether one is a Sakam Bhakta, a Nishkam Bhakta, or you want liberation in the impersonal Ram Jyoti, you should engage in Krishna service. Akamo sarvakamo di mokshakam udardi tidvena bhakti jogina jijeta urshanparam. But like you see that the devas, they're also trapped in the material nature. So we don't really want to be sakam bhaktas. I don't know exactly know where it's written, but I heard that Prabhupada said that his devotees, many of his devotees would take birth in the heavenly planets. So, by doing a little devotional service, they get elevated to the heavenly planets. But, of course, we would like all to go back to Godhead. But then that means that we shouldn't make these kind of business deals with Krishna. There's a story to tell in Tirumala, Tirupati. Balaji's priest. They say that there was a guy who came up. He had, many years ago. Now he came up with a lottery ticket. He said, first prize, 1 lakh of rupees. So if you make me win, I'll give you half. So he got second prize. It was 50,000. So he said, well, you took your half already. But his wife said, oh, listen, whatever you want, you should give him half. He said, no, I want 100,000. I only got 50. I said, he took the 50. Don't be too smart. You should give him half. And then he got sick. And she got sicker and sicker. And no matter what he did, he couldn't. He just saw doctors. And he could not get better. And the wife had said, give 50%. Give 50%. Give the 25,000. Tribology. He resisted to the end. And then finally he said, okay, I'll get it. So he was taken in a, what do you call that? Yeah, well, no, not, you know, where they take you in your little hospital? A crutcher? A stretcher. He was taken in a stretcher and he put the 25,000 in the hundi. And then he got better. So, if you make some deal with Krishna, you better fulfill. There's that movie that is distributed by the ISKCON, what's it called, ISKCON? ITV? Iha Jindagi, This Is a Life. I think the guy there, he wanted to cheat Krishna. He He took the money from the Punani box and the donation box, and then he became very wealthy. He always told Krishna, "Oh, I'll give you back," but he never gave that. So Krishna kept in this film visiting him. "When are you getting back?" Just now. So one time he was real sick. He came up and he was reading all the medicine. "What is this? Tell thy sin, set the thy sin, this thy sin, that thy sin, my sin, my sin. All this medicine is because your sin." It's a funny movie. But apparently that is a story that they adapted to the modern time. Originally it was a true story in the Puranas. I didn't find that story yet, but it'd be interesting. But like this, we don't want to have a business mentality with Krishna. This is like in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni. He tells that there's a different types of the mixed devotion in goodness, in passion, and ignorance. So in passion, say you want something in return for your devotion. I heard that some devotees said, "I've been serving this God for 15 years. I don't have a TV. What is this? I've been cheated. I never got a TV." Of course, now the devotees have TVs, but that's another thing. Ostensibly, they only watch the news or a few Krishna conscious videos. But like this, if someone thinks for my devotion, I should get a TV, I should get this, I should get that. Obviously, they miss the boat. They can get those things anyway. That's not a big deal nowadays. Maybe when he said that, it was a big deal. But the real thing, we want to get love of Krishna. We want devotion. Other things, we use it in such a way that we don't want to be under Maya. We want to use it in a Krishna conscious way. So basically, if we have a fear, like Devaki, she was afraid for Krishna, that if Kamsa came and saw him with the four hands, he would attack. So he said, "Take a baby thorn. I'll take it over to..." In the purport, it says that Devaki, just as she was afraid for Krishna out of her motherly affection, like that we should be afraid for our Krishna consciousness. We should fear Maya. So, not to do business with Krishna. We don't want to be away from Krishna. We want to be under the shelter of Krishna. If we make some deal, it said we have some separatist mentality. If there's only one kind of pure devotee, we want to do what Krishna wants us to do. So we decide we want to do what Krishna wants. And he gives us a scope to do things. But we want to do it in his way. So if we decide we want to be pure devotees, we won't go into this Rajasic or Tamasic or even Sattvic mode of devotional service. Because all those modes have a separatist mentality. Like some people, they are devotees of God, but they want to say, "Let the world be a nice place, let it be peaceful." So their desire is still somewhat separate. or share devotee, we don't like to see anyone suffer, but whatever ultimately will take them back to Krishna, that's to their best interest. That's all we want. So it's said, even sometimes it's like maybe a recession or maybe good. We don't really care. Because sometimes in recession, people may be more open to preach to them. And sometimes when things are going real good, they think, well, I don't need God. I'm happy as I am. So, in our Krishna conscious movement, whatever the circumstance, we try to make the best. But sometimes even the bad circumstances are better for preaching. What do you think? Okay. Any comments?
You know, you've been saying a lot about how we need to be fixed in serving Krishna, but how is it that even if one, acquires liberation, you know, even in Krishna consciousness, we can be here and we can feel liberated from the material energy. And we want to be a devotee and we really want to serve the mission of Krishna consciousness. But what happens that as you progress in Krishna consciousness, you always feel like you have an authority. You always feel like someone is there giving you instruction or giving you some type of protection. But when you get into, it appears that when you get into some type of liberated state, you feel like you know everything. And you sometimes don't want to take instruction, you know, from maybe God brothers, God sisters. Maybe just you want to feel like you're just independent. Because you spoke a little bit about that. We find even in Shastra that happens to great devotees. Even like the story of Bharat Maharaj, who was Brahman realized. And he was practically, he was in love of God. But still he became illusioned. So what do we do? Because you were speaking about how we need to stay fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. What can we do to kind of avoid that kind of a situation where we can take instruction, or we can develop humility and maintain that desire to serve the mission of ISKCON, of Srila Prabhupada, of Lord Chaitanya?
Interesting. Well, Atu Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they were Acharya system. But Bhakti Siddhanta, he's said to make a governing body. And Prabhupada, he made a governing body in ISKCON. So we always have the governing body. I mean, I reached the whatever I'm a member of the governing body, and I'm a guru and a sannyasi, but still I got the governing body over my head, and we have to act according to their decisions. As you know, there was one debate earlier this year that what I should do, what I shouldn't do. So ultimately, whatever the GDG wants, we have to do it. So that's good in one sense. It keeps us humble. It keeps us that we have to follow. So like that. initially we take our Diksha Guru and we follow the Diksha Guru. In our case, we follow Prabhupada. In everyone's case, of course, Prabhupada's teachings are the primary teachings that all the gurus in ISKCON are teaching from. So we take Prabhupada as our primary or principal, you can say, Siksha Guru, and everyone follows his teachings. But still, we have directly a guru that we follow. At some point, the guru may go back to Godhead, and we have his teachings. But then we also have the other God brothers and senior devotees. We have our temple president and so on. So we take their instructions, we take their guidance. We may have a Siksha Guru, we take their guidance. Like that, we would always try to take the instruction of the older devotees. I get visited by some of my God brothers. I used to see Prabhupada, he would ask us to leave the room. He would talk to his God brothers. Amongst God brothers, there's a, you can say, like a different relationship than amongst the guru disciple. Obviously, it's more of a collegiate, more of a friend-to-friend discussion. So the God brothers, they can also tell us, or God sisters for that matter, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, from their perspective. They have that right. So all these things keep us on the track. For me, I had a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada, so when he left, it was for me a very, a big loss. I think for everyone, but I, you know, if he had, I was getting a lot of personal guidance and personal association. So, a son didn't have so much, so it was like business as usual. But for me, it was a whole new experience. Where we were, I was having like Prabhupada was giving a daily, you know, regular guidance, what to do, what not to do, in my effort. It was always something unexpected, of course. Sometimes, 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, Prabhupada wants to see you. Quickly wash my face, wash my teeth, hands. Run downstairs. Yes, Phil Prabhupada? Yes. You don't forget. Time was the question. Anytime, any place. He had anything he wanted to ask me, it was okay. So I missed that a lot, and especially in the beginning. Of course, here in L.A., a few God brothers have come and visited me, a few God sisters, and they have given me some perspectives. So it's nice to have their association. This is one thing that keeps us on the track, is to hear from our God brothers and God sisters. But I know let something out, of course, regularly reading our Srila Prabhupada's books and getting the instructions, asking if we don't understand something or if there's a different way to understand it, then asking some other devotee what's their understanding of that verse. All these things could help the devotees. The idea is we should, you see what Krishna said in the Gita to Arjuna. He was thinking, well, according to the Dharma, this is right, this is not right. He may have misunderstood. He let it run out. But this is the nature of the devotee, to want to follow the, do the right thing. So if we want to do the right thing, we want to do, actually everything we do, we should be very clear that this is the proper thing to do. If not, we go to our guru and we ask, under this circumstance, what is the right thing for me to do? This, or maybe I'm not very strong, this is my situation. So under this, okay, then A, B, C, go these steps. So we know that, okay, this is what I should do at this particular time. So we shouldn't be under any kind of a doubt what to do or not to do. That's one advantage of being in devotional service, is our philosophy is complete. We can always know what to do at any time, but we should try to follow what to do. There's no excuse to say, oh, I don't know what to do, I'll just do whatever I feel like. There's no excuse. So much has been given to us that we always be able to know what to do. If we can do it or not, well, like we could go to Prabhupada and say, well, I'm not able to do this at this time. Well, he would give some practical instruction according to time, place, circumstance, the person. Okay, then do this. Just like Krishna says in the 12th chapter, well, the best thing is, of the Gita, the best thing is to fully fix your mind on me. If you can't do that, then follow regulated bhakti. If you can't do that, then do work for me. If you can't do that, then this and this. And so, if whatever the best we can do, we know that, oh, this is my goal. I may not be able to achieve nishkam bhakti now. I have got certain desires, but that is my goal. So like that, we take a humble position. I got this weakness. I'm not under illusion that I'm some great devotee. At the same time, I want to be a pure devotee. This is my goal. So I'm trying for that. I step by step. At the present time, I'm not at that level, but I'm trying to get to that level. We should like that be very sincere. If we think, well, that's no good. What I'm doing, this is good enough. Then we'll never try to achieve the higher level, and this way we cheat ourselves. So we'd rather take the humble position. If we're not able to achieve the highest position, we should be very humble and say, okay, I'm not on that level, but I want to achieve that level. So then how to do it systematically? How to do it step by step? That's what Prabhupada taught. Like he told, well, if you can't chant 16 rounds, then chant some number of rounds every day, like 12 or 8, something as a minimum, rather than one day 16, one day 9, the next day 8, next day. So he would give to certain devotees, but obviously he desired that they chant 16 rounds every day. But if they couldn't, then he would give some, what we call big hope, or some alternative route. Okay, you do this, and then eventually you come back to your 16. So, like that, we should try to do the best we can do, and our goal is to be pure devotees. So, like that. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Anything to get out? Oh, courtesy thing. No cookies and courtesy. Hey.